Crystal, right here on Radio 3. It's Tuesday's Brew. That means we are off to deepest, darkest Melbs to say hi to Maurice Misolowski. What's cooking? How are you?
Yeah, very, very good. And happy Tuesday, everyone.
Put your flask down. You're on air.
I did. Doink. You told me I had a few seconds in the afterlife. I mean, I'm working here.
That's what we're talking about today. I sort of described it as, a pretty tricky topic that we're going to get into today, but it is a thing. Maurice, tell us more.
It is. So this is I hope it's an interesting conversation. It's a different one than most people have. It's an area that we've talked about in various ways. And of course, it starts off with those two wonderful initials, AI, artificial intelligence. It talks about chatbots, which is big now. It means that we can build this thing that will allow you to talk to something that's artificial and ask it questions, and it can answer back for you.
Do you think the word chatbot is going to disappear because it's a bit grungy?
I hope so.
It's got a bit more sophisticated since then, hasn't it?
Yeah. It is. I absolutely agree, and I hope you're absolutely right. But chatbot seems to be the term that's sticking until somebody comes up with something that's a bit more sticky. But this is an area that I don't think most people think about or wouldn't want to think about in chatbots, and that's what is called death bots.
Yeah. And you can see why it's sensitive, can't you?
Yeah. Kind of everyone's switched off by now. It's just you and I left here now, I think, pretty much.
Yep.
what this talks about is the notion of being able to use artificial intelligence and chatbots to be able to, and I've got my fingers doing the air quotes to talk to people after they've passed on. Now, I know it sounds like a really strange topic, but it's something that as human beings we have a hankering for. When we lose somebody in whatever circumstance that is, for however long they've been in our lives, whatever purpose they were in our lives, we have this lingering need to say things, hear things, wonder what they would say about this, wonder how they would feel about this, what would my dad say about this, all those kind of questions we have afterwards. And it's a very human, natural thing to do. In some religions, in some ways that we grieve or that we mourn or that we celebrate life, it takes care of itself. There's a wonderful tradition in Mexico where they spend a day and they celebrate the dead, and it's a very, it's a very big and honest and open conversation people have. They get together and they talk about loved ones that have passed on and do all kinds of things. Other religions and other cultures treat it a bit more sensitively and discreetly. It really just depends on everybody. But what this talks about is the notion that with artificial intelligence, it is possible now to store information. That's what it is, because think about it. Many people now are writing online. They have diaries. They put up blogs, in other words. They have their social media. They have their Facebooks and all sorts of bits and pieces. And for a number of people, they also have their voice because they've done things.
It's already getting weird, Maurice.
I know that, but we're talking about a world where all this exists anyway. Mm-hmm. So what these death bots talks about, there's a whole business around this, which is why it's become a hot topic in business. Also, I've been working around this industry, strangely enough, for about 20, 25 years now. It's something that I've got quite accustomed to talking about and to. But what this talks about is the notion that should we, could we, and we can prepare these death bots, which are...
The name's got to change, Maurice.
It does, which is why I stumble over it every time I say it. Mm-hmm. But what it is really it's an ability to memorialise, to talk to, and to keep on that relationship, even though physically the parties aren't there anymore.
This is interesting. I mean, you can't really just say it's a thing, it's going to take over. What some people want in this, in however tenuous a way, to stay in touch with their loved ones and friends, etc., who've passed away, some just absolutely do not. So it's very subjective, this one, isn't it?
It is, but we have to put this broader context too, which is what I do. So it's not so much about the AI and the chatbot. That's something you and I need to decide for ourselves. I mean, everybody that's listening, not just you and I. We have to decide whether we want that ongoing memorialization, whether we want the ability to be able to keep talking, again, fingers in the air quotes, talking to people that have passed on and hearing and learning from their wisdom. I'm not sure about that. I had a really strange encounter. This is not woo stuff, but we were listening to a piece of video that was taken at our wedding, my wife and I, and that goes back many decades now. And I'd heard my father's voice for the first time in maybe 20, 25 years. Goodness. I'd not heard it before. And it was really quite startling. Not that I hated his voice when he was alive and I loved hearing it when he was alive, but because I'd not heard it for so long, it really just was almost like a shudder.
And I bet.
And that's quite an unusual thing. Now, I say that in this context, and I've used this, not that conversation, but I've said this many times, that humans, you and I, if we were rich enough, going back 100, 150, 200 years ago, we were memorialized because somebody would paint us and we would be a painting on a wall and maybe some history that might have been orally passed down or it might have been written down if we were rich enough and famous enough for that to happen. In other words, many of the ancestors have just gone and have been forgotten, and that's not because of any malice or, you know, miscontent or whatever. It's just because history hasn't passed itself along.
So you're saying that this is a fairly natural progression technically from what we've been doing for centuries?
Because we did the same when photos came around. So when, you know, the Kodak photo came around 120 years ago, we began to memorialise families. All of a sudden we had those family portraits. Can you picture them all? You know, they all had sullen faces. They all looked so sad and so serious in those early pictures because it was such a, you know, and that was in the sepia days, you know, that black and white brownie sepia days when it was an expensive thing to do. It was probably something many families only did once in an entire generation. And you stood there and you were very somber and you didn't laugh or do anything. We then became much better at being able to take photos. They were cheaper. In other words, it became more ordinary for us to be able to hand down mementos, photos, audio, video about people that have passed on, for those things to move through the generations.
I see where you're going with this. Now, if you've just joined us with Maurice Misolowski live from Melbourne, once again referring to an article that he just wrote yesterday or a few hours ago, the afterlife is changing again. This time, AI is part of the story. So do check it out at morrisfuturist.com. I think what you're trying to do is just say this isn't crazy and weird necessarily. It's just a new way of doing what we've, you know, what we've been doing.
And that really is the point, that this does seem severe. As I said, you know, hearing from my father after 20-odd years was really startling, and it was something that I'd not thought that I would ever hear again. But I would challenge now and say that for many people, you know, especially now in these new generations where we do have Facebook, when there are so many recordings of people, it's so easy to hear from anyone anywhere on the planet, whether they're here or not here, that I think these things will become quite ordinary. And the chatbots at the moment, I think, are quite crass, and I'd use that word.
Yeah, and weird, you know, and they get things wrong. I'm just wondering, how would you feel if you were chatting to somebody who you've known so well for so many years and they start doing freaky stuff, which AI does.
And I'm concerned, and I said this to the industry as well, I'm concerned because we have a memory, we have an emotional memory of that person, and we should honour that. You know, AI as we know it now, not as it will be in 5 or 10 years when it must probably will get better and clever and do all those things, but right now, to your point, it could misconstrue, it could misrepresent that person. Yes. It could in fact leave us with damage.
Very damaging about that person. Exactly that word,
We could think of someone who's passed on, not in the way we would want to do it, but in this new thing that AI has said or done or presented to us. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying at the moment, it exists. We really need to understand that all this is a very clever library of information, whether that's oral, whether that's video or whatever else, and we can assemble that and use it. Some of these bots, because there are lots and lots of variations of them, some of them are no more than a glorified library, and that's exactly what they claim to be, no more than that. In other words, it will assemble all the information, put it together, generations can interrogate that down the track, like you might have done with a photo album or something.
What are we actually talking about here, Maurice?
How does it present?
You keep talking about a bot. I mean, we've all seen movies when, you know, the dearly departed appear before us as a hologram or something.
So if you think about ChatGPT, you can use it in that way. So ChatGPT doesn't do this, but it has variations of it. In other words, you can type something and say, what would my father have said to this? What would have been his wisdom? You know, so my son is about to go to school. I'm not quite sure what I should tell him. What would my father say about this, or what would my mother say about this? And you could get back from all the representations it's stored about your father and what he said and how he thought about life. It can put a bit of AI on that and said, you know, a bit of source which says, well, this is generally how I thought about things, which is what AI does. So this is most likely what he would have said, and it can give you back a version of that.
You sort of summarised the gap, the hump here quite well with your titles. One paragraph is called The Slow, Steady Evolution of Remembering, and the next paragraph is called From Remembering to Re-encountering. Now, there's a big deal difference there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And what we've done up until now with history is really the slow, steady evolution of remembering, that we have chosen because of technologies to be able to remember people in a different way. But what we're now saying is that not only are we able to remember them, which means there's a full stop, everything they've said, done, thought is now capped, and we are trying to capture those things and remember what they would have said, thought, and about things. But what AI's supposedly can do is it can actually keep that journey going. So it no longer says, well, this is everything that was ever known, everything that would have been thought. It can extrapolate. It can bring about new information from existing information, which wisdom. Is what AI does. It can, well, I'm reticent to call it wisdom. But yes, in some cases it might be. I think it might be intellect. I think it's knowledge. I'm really careful here because we're dealing with people's emotions. Absolutely. And that's really important to remember, that this is emotional. This is emotionally driven.
Well, this is a think piece, as are all of your pieces. Just go to his blog and you'll see what we're talking about. What drove you to this in the first place? Interesting.
Because I said I've worked with the industry for about 20, 25 years. I'm actually doing a new research piece. For the industry, of where I think the industry might be going in the next 5-10 years. The industry is death, cemeteries, crematoria. So when I first started with them, which was back at the beginning of this century, I talked about a time when we would use less of religion and more of culture to be able to memorialize people. Because up until that stage, most bereavements, most burials were very much along, especially in Australia, were very much along straight religious lines. Perfect. Nothing wrong with it. This is how the church says we should do it. This is what was done.
Still these days?
No, but we went to exactly the same undertaker before as well. We didn't dare question the price. We tried to spend a lot of money to show that this loved one was meant something to us. That was the way the world was. Not good or bad. That's how it was. The last 20 years have changed significantly. It is much less religiously dominated in Australia, much less. It's only about 30% religion now. It used to be 80% 20 years ago. Now people will memorialize in ways they want. When I first started working with this industry, there were no PowerPoints, there were no eulogies.
He does do other stuff as well, by the way. I mean, it's just today we're on about this particular industry.
Yeah.
Do your pharmacy
Yeah, all kinds. I mean, I've done 160 industries in my time. But this one is interesting because it is really a unique look at the world. And the reason that I think it's important is because it speaks very much to culture. When you get to this extent and this thing which is so important to all of us, and I mean about memorialising people that have, you know, been part of our lives who are not here anymore, when we're willing to change that, when we're willing to look at that differently, then pretty much something else has happened outside of that in the world that makes these things more normal. And that really, to me, is why I think this is fascinating. This is kind of like Last Bastion.
Is this like another AI evolution story? So generations before us, I can hear people going, as we speak, but perhaps your Gen Z onwards, that would be just quite normal for them.
Yeah, it'll absolutely be normal. I think it'll just be part of memorialization, part of remembering somebody, the ability to be able to recall them, to reimagine them if we want to. But today it's a conversation of it can be done, but more importantly, the culture is slowly shifting where these things, I think, are at least becoming a conversation. We most probably would not have had this conversation 20 years ago on air. Now I'm finding more and more people are at least open to thinking about it. But again, it's not to rush out to get these death bots, because I think we're a long way away from saying that they are useful or purposeful. Some people find them that way, which is perfect. But I think it's the notion of how do we want to remember our loved ones, and remembering that that's exactly it. We can remember them. We don't have to forget them. There are incredible ways now that we can carry on their legacy. And think about genealogy, which is another part of this. This is where I begin to pull threads out. Genealogy is where a generation or two down the track really wants to know who that loved one was, you know, 50, 60 years ago. What was grandpa really like? This is a really interesting way to be able to show grandpa 50 or 60 years from now so that his or her grandchildren, great-grandchildren can really experience the love and the knowledge and the wisdom of that person.
Well, as always, this is a very detailed think piece. You go down a lot of roads here. Without asking about your client, is there an overriding question for this piece of work you're doing with them that they are asking you?
No, for me it's always, and I do this quite regularly for them over the last 20 years or so, it is just to chart ahead how culture, how our observance of religion, how our thought process around this notion might be. We also talk about longevity, the notion we're living to 100 and 120. There are all sorts of things which really do impact on this industry. The notion of how we might memorialize as well. for, you know, in Australia, we inter people, we bury them predominantly. That's changing now. In China, it's the exact opposite. In China, most people are cremated. It's very unusual to be buried, and there are great differences and nuances in that. It's a strange topic, but it does speak to culture and humanity very, very well.
Oh, it's a great way to start Tuesday.
I think so, Phil. It can only go up from here.
Absolutely. Hey, you talk about you've talked about longevity quite a lot before, and statistics say that we are living how many years longer now? I mean, it's basically an average. It's, you know, don't
it
get
is.
Your hopes up too
Hong
high.
Kong and Australia are actually very similar. Hong Kong's lifespan is slightly longer than Australia by a couple of months. We both sit around 88 for females, 88 years of age, and that's the expected life expectancy now. Mm. It doesn't mean at 88 we have to check in our card and say we're out of here, but that's against the, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was down around the mid-70s to late 70s, so we've already tacked on about 10 years in the last couple of decades.
How much of this is because of natural day-to-day stuff, and how much of it is because of things we introduce, bodies? I mean, surgeries, supplements, whatever,
both.
Diet.
It's both. Yeah. We understand the human body a lot better. We are much better at caring for ourselves, so we're in a wellness phase. Many of us don't allow our bodies to deteriorate the way it once did. Culturally, we are seeing now that we should be living longer, healthier lives. It's not a cultural norm, and this is very much an Australian thing. But when you were retired, you kind of started living a diminishing life. You began to be seen by culture and society having less purpose,
right,
which is why I always loved other cultures, because they didn't see it that way. Lots around this space. Also, legal, estate planning, aged care, health, all of these things come out of this conversation, strangely enough. So not death bots so much, but this new way to think about what happens at that end of our life.
You know what? This is fascinating stuff, but there's one really boring thing that's at the front of my mind at the moment. When you talk about people living a lot longer, the insurance industry. Dull, of course, but it's an absolute fact.
It is, and it's a conversation I have with them regularly. It's also a conversation you have with not just health, but, you know, superannuation, where you have it with health insurance, you have it with all kinds of different bodies, which are predominantly, even our tax systems, our aged care systems, all of those things that were built on people only surviving into their mid-80s.
Well, thanks, Morris.
So we are living longer, healthier lives. Let's take that out of this conversation. Longer, healthier lives.
Lovely. We'll pick it up next week. MorrisFuturist.com. Go to the blog. The afterlife is changing again. This time, AI is part of the story. If nothing else, these pieces really get you thinking in different directions. Take care, Morris. We'll do it again next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
You too, mate. Bye-bye for now. Let's have a look at the weather. News on the way.